America's 250th birthday. It's a great excuse to have some extra cake and ice cream, but we can help your celebration go well beyond that. Show your patriotism with America 250 apparel that will become a memento of this special year. We also have special episodes on AFA Stream to help underscore that America is a Christian nation and help you find God in the Constitution. Find all of this and more in one place. afa.net/topics/250.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. It is Monday, June 29th. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 103. I was thinking about this psalm as I drove in today. Bless the Lord, O my soul. This is a psalm of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits. Then he names five: who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. What a great passage of scripture, Psalm 103, and what a great opportunity that we have to bless the Lord. You know, we talk about, we sang yesterday in church, God Bless America, and we want the Lord to bless us, as I preached a week ago from Numbers 6, the Aaronic blessing: the Lord bless you and keep you, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace, and so you shall invoke my name upon the sons of Israel, and then I will bless them. God wants to bless us, but we can bless the Lord. We can brag on him for all his goodness. Well, yesterday we had Todd Starnes with us. Todd drove in from Memphis Saturday night, and he and I went to dinner together and took him to Naaman's Barbecue here in Texarkana, Arkansas. And Todd was laughing about the fact that he goes, I've never been to a barbecue place that has a piano player there right in the middle of the restaurant playing, and that they had a really talented piano player there. But the food was great. Todd is a barbecue guy. He judges barbecue contests, and he said he's going to school. You have to go to school to be trained on what to look for when you're judging these barbecue contests. You know, in Memphis is known for barbecue. And so he said barbecue, you know, in the strict sense of barbecue, I didn't know this, but in the strict sense of barbecue, brisket is not included. And at Naaman's, that's their top thing. Their barbecue brisket is incredible. So he said barbecue is really, you're just looking at chicken and pork. But he loved it, and we had a great time with Todd, and Todd, I appreciate him. I appreciate the fact that he stands up for the biblical worldview. He is on the radio 3 hours a day, and then on Newsmax for an hour a night. So 4 hours a day, that's a lot. You know, the well starts running dry. Nobody's got just an endless amount of things they can talk about. And so I appreciated Todd coming out, and the church really appreciated him. And he shared with us his brand new book. Doesn't come out till August, but we got the first copies, The Golden Age, How Trump Saved America. And Todd said what the book is really about is, okay, where do we go from here? Because conservatives, most conservatives would agree, if Trump had lost in 2024, the direction of the country would be so very different. And there's no guarantee, you know, after, there's no guarantee on the midterms what's going to happen. There could be total gridlock if the voters end up saying we want to go in a different direction. That would be disastrous. The direction that the Democrats are going, obviously, as you saw in the primaries in New York just this past few days ago, a week ago, that they're going for socialist candidates. It's a combination of Islamists and socialists, and they're getting together, just like Mamdani. He's a Muslim socialist. And how do those things work together? Well, they make strange bedfellows, and Islam will attack the socialism. They're going to ride. It seems like both are trying to use the other to gain power. And then there's going to be a war at who's going to be king of the mountain when they gain the power. But Islam doesn't play ball really with anybody long term. They'll use somebody, but they want to have Sharia law. And Sharia law, as you know, Sharia law is incompatible with the U.S. Constitution. Socialism is a disaster. It is historically a disaster every at every turn. And I like what Matt Walsh, I ran across a quote from Matt Walsh. This is what he had to say about people voting for socialist candidates. And they say, well, it's not socialism, it's democratic socialism. A rose by any other name. This is Matt Walsh.
If your solution to our problems is to embrace socialism, then you are historically illiterate, unintelligent, and therefore dangerous. If you want government bureaucrats to run the economy just like they run the DMV, then you are so ignorant and stupid, if not simply evil, that you are a threat to everybody around you. You should be deported immediately. I don't care where you were born. You don't belong here.
Well, he doesn't beat around the bush. I don't know if I'd be that blunt, but he makes the point that, hey, you're voting for our suicide, and you are either so deceived or so corrupt. But hey, you're drilling holes in the boat, and you're going to sink the whole thing, and that's why we need to get you off the ship. I used to say that when I was at first came to First Baptist Texarkana and making changes, and you know, as a pastor will tend to do, and people don't like change, and so it disrupts the apple cart. And I said, listen, here's the direction the ship is going, and put it in these terms, but in my mind it was like, and I did inside baseball in some of the meetings with some of the powers that be. I said, listen, this is the direction that we're going. If you don't want to go in that direction, then you need to get off the ship. But what you can't do is stay on the ship and drill holes in it to sink the ship, because that is not going to work. And we have people in America doing that today, and voting for Islamic candidates, voting for socialist candidates will destroy America. And that is the face of the Democrat Party. I think it was even James Carville that said, hey, I can't go with this. I'm done on this. Now, I posed a question on my Facebook page, and it was something I saw on X, but it said this, Mamdani just sent four socialists to the general election for Congress and New York Senate. One wiped her hand on the American flag. One said 9/11 was America's fault. That this is today's Democrat Party. I hope you can see it for what it is. And he posted a picture of all four of these candidates. And I just said this, I'm curious if all those who vote Democrat are for, all in caps, are for this unsurprising direction the party is going. The Democrats are embracing socialism and Islamism, a deadly combination that will surely destroy America. Only an ignorant fool would vote for ideologies that have a proven track record of unfathomable misery and death for the masses. If you care about the future of your children and your grandchildren, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. Now, I'm at the age where I'm thinking a lot about my grandchildren and what kind of America are they going to grow up in, and are we going to be able to pass the baton of freedom to that next generation and the generation that follows. Well, one of the things that Todd Starnes talked about yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana was the quote from Teddy Roosevelt about the man in the arena. The man in the arena is the guy that gets his nose bloodied. He's the guy that is actually in there fighting. And you have all these critics from the cheap seats that are saying, oh, you should have done it this way, you should have done it that way. And those aren't the people that are actually doing the fighting. They are critiquing those. They're armchair quarterbacks, and they don't get in there themselves. Hey, it's really easy to armchair quarterback. It's hard when you're out there. I love to watch golf. I was watching the Travelers tournament yesterday, and Scottie Scheffler battling it out with Victor Hovland. And you know, you look at these shots. Oh, I wish he had made that. Why can't he make this shot? Why can't he make that shot? You know, they asked Scottie Scheffler some of those things after tournaments, and you know, what did you think about this shot, or what do you think about that shot, you know? And some of those guys, I don't know if Scotty's ever said this directly, but they're like, hey, have you ever played golf? Do you understand how hard golf is? I mean, you watch on TV, you don't have a clue as to how hard this shot was. And, you know, I didn't make it, but I got it close, and I could give you 100 shots, and you couldn't even get it near the hole. And so sometimes we like to criticize the guy in the arena when we could never do that. And so Todd's message was, we need to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We need to be men and women who are willing to stand up and speak up regardless of the consequences. Shadrach, you know, it's easy to say, oh, I would have done what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did. I wouldn't have bowed before the king. Well, you know, everyone there that day, Daniel was obviously not there because he wouldn't have bowed. We know that he wouldn't have bowed because he ends up getting thrown in the lion's den in Daniel chapter 6 when they said, you can't pray. And he said, well, fooey on that. I'm going to pray 3 times, as is my practice, pray to the Lord. And they threw him in the lion's den for it. So he wasn't there. But of all the, there were lots of Jews there that day in Daniel chapter 3 on the plains of Dura when Nebuchadnezzar set up his image and said, hey, when I strike up the band, everybody has to bow to my golden image. And if you don't bow, I'm going to throw you in the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you from my hand? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not bow. They said, we don't have to give you an answer concerning this. We don't need another chance, King. Our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us. He will deliver us. And even if he doesn't, let it be known to you this day, we're not going to bow before your image. That took such tremendous courage. You know, we get nervous if somebody comes after us on social media. If people call us names, you know, they call us a racist, a homophobe, a xenophobe, you know, all these phobes. You're an Islamophobe. I don't want to be called that, so I'm not going to say anything. We have pastors that are so afraid. I don't want somebody to criticize me, so I just won't say anything. I'm not going to get into the arena. Well, we can't do that. That's not an option. We have to stand up and speak up. And if it costs us friends, so be it. If it costs us our job, so be it. If it costs us our freedom and we get incarcerated, so be it. If it costs us our lives, we have to get to the place where we say, so be it. My job, your job, our job as believers is to be faithful to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, moreover, it is required of stewards, that's what we are, stewards. We don't own anything. We just manage God's things. It's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, to the church at Smyrna, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We want to be like Stephen, who stood up to the Sanhedrin, who spoke the truth to them. You men who are stiff-necked, always resisting the Holy Spirit. They hated his sermon so much they stoned him to death, but Jesus stood for him. He gave him a standing ovation. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This June marks 3 years since the overturn of Roe, but did you know that since then, the number of abortions has surged to a 10-year high? Preborn Network clinics continue to support women facing unplanned pregnancies, showering them with God's love and providing free ultrasounds. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, she's twice as likely to choose life.
It was like the beginning of my healing journey. They do an ultrasound. That's when everything changed. When I saw my baby and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
$28 sponsors one ultrasound and $140 helps to rescue five babies. Your generous tax-deductible donation also helps to provide women who choose life with assistance for up to 2 years. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. I want to give a shout out in this segment to the state of Texas. Hooray for Texas. So Texas had two recent developments related to the Bible and the Ten Commandments in public schools. And the latest one was from June 2026, just this month. The State Board of Education took action, and they said they are requiring Bible passages in reading curriculum in public schools. Schools must teach specific Bible stories and passages as part of the mandated literature list for every grade. Here are some examples. In elementary school, they are to teach David and Goliath, Daniel in the lion's den, Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, Exodus, and Exodus stories. Older grades, the parable of the prodigal son, Sermon on the Mount, and the Beatitudes, Psalm 23, the Shepherd's Psalm, and they're supposed to present these alongside secular classics like Charlotte's Web and Lincoln's Gettysburg Address and things like that. It's a statewide mandate for all public schools. It's not optional. And now supporters call it cultural literacy. Critics argue it favors Christianity. Now, the other action that was taken in June of 2025 by Governor Abbott was effective September 1, 2025, so this is passed, to display the Ten Commandments in public schools. And they were required to do that. It doesn't require the students to memorize the Ten Commandments or recite the Ten Commandments or believe in the Ten Commandments, but they are mandated to show the Ten Commandments. And you can imagine this causes the liberals to lose their minds. This is separation of church and state. They all go back to separation of church and state. But you got to think about the founding fathers. The founding fathers that wrote the Constitution, that put the thing together, they didn't have any problem about students learning the Bible. Benjamin Rush, signer of the Declaration of Independence, he said the only foundation for a useful education in a republic is to be laid in religion. Without this, there can be no virtue, and without virtue, there can be no liberty. He strongly defended using the Bible as a school book for moral formation. Well, he's one of the founders of and a signer of the Declaration of Independence. George Washington, in his farewell address, said, "Of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports." and let us with caution indulge this supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. It cannot. The famous quote from John Adams, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." Now, when they talk about a religious people, well, what religion are they talking about? Well, they're talking about Christianity. They're talking about the Bible. Patrick Henry said this, the Bible is worth all the other books which have ever been printed. Alexander Hamilton and many others echoed that Republican self-government required a virtuous citizenry rooted in Christian ethics. Now, the problem that we have today, think about that John Adams quote, because it is so poignant. Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. If you don't have a basic fear of the Lord, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. If you don't have a basic fear of the Lord, then you need police to force you to do things that are right. And we can't have enough policemen. The Constitution was drafted and constructed in such a way that you have people that have a basic fear of the Lord. And so they don't have to have a policeman looking over their shoulder, somebody forcing them to do what is right, because they're going to want to do what is right. Doesn't mean they're sinless. They're definitely not sinless, but they have this desire to do good to people, not evil to people. And, you know, it's I always liken it to when I was a high school student and I worked for Cypress Fairbanks Independent School District there in Houston. That's where I went to schools in that district. First graduating class of Cypress Creek High School, the Cypress Creek Cougars. And just giving a shout out to my old alma mater. But I worked for the maintenance department there at Cyfair ISD, and we used to have in the break room this whole display of snacks, potato chips and cookies and all sorts of stuff, you know, that were put in this little cardboard display case that had a little container for putting in coins, and it was called the honor system. And you just took whatever you wanted, but you had to put the money in there. And it wasn't under, it's not like a vending machine where you can't get to this stuff. You could get to this stuff. If you were a dishonest person, you could take the snacks and not pay. If you were a super dishonest person, you could take all the snacks and tear into the money box and take all the money. Well, back then, this is in the 70s, people still had a sense of honor, and so they wouldn't do that. And you could give them an option to steal. They're not going to steal because it's the honor system, and they wouldn't do that. That would be a violation of one's honor. We don't have that kind of ethic anymore that works in the hearts of people. Why? Well, in 1963, we took out the Bible from our schools. And now Texas is saying we need to get that back in our schools. They need to read the Ten Commandments. They need to read commandment number 8, you shall not steal. And this is a good time to plug Joseph Parker's Ten Commandments project going on all this month, encouraging students to learn the Ten Commandments and memorize the Ten Commandments with their families and get involved taking the Word of God, Exodus 20, and internalizing it so that you know what is Commandment 1, 2, 3, 4. You learn them. I learned Commandment 8 from Stephanie Bright, our children's director. She taught the kids an easy way to learn the Ten Commandments. And so how do I know about you shall not steal, Commandment number 8? Because she put up 4 fingers on either hand, and she said, because in some countries for stealing, they cut off your fingers, they cut off your thumbs, and so commandment number 8 is you shall not steal. And so it's an easy way to learn the Ten Commandments. But we encourage you as moms and dads with your students, with your kids, to learn the Ten Commandments, and you can be a part of that, the Ten Commandments Challenge. And so for more information, you can contact Joseph Parker at American Family Association, and his contact information, I have it here. Oh, jparker@afa.net, jparker@afa.net, the Ten Commandments Challenge, and there's a speech challenge. Give a little 3 to 5 minute speech on it, and you can teach the Ten Commandments in your community with kids, and we just encourage you to get the Word of God and take it into your heart and teach it to your kids. Here's the other thing that is so great about Texas is to teach the Bible. When you are young, your mind is like flypaper. It is sticky, and it is easy to memorize when you're young. As you get older, it's harder to do. I used to say this, that your mind is kind of like a post-it note. You know, when you take a post-it note and you use it the first time and stick it on something, it's really sticky. You know, you pull it off of there and put it on something else, it's still sticky. You do it 3 or 4 times, it starts to lose its stickum. And that's how a mind is as you get older. Your stickiness starts to go away, and it's harder and harder to memorize. And so moms and dads especially, teach your kids and challenge your kids to memorize Scripture while they are young, and get the Word of God into their minds and into their hearts. It makes all the difference in the world. You know, the longest psalm is Psalm 119. It's 176 verses. And Psalm 119 is all about the Word of God. The psalmist says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Well, we say hooray for Texas for doing that. And for those who say, well, this is, you know, this is separation of church and state, this is an issue, we don't need to be doing that. Well, do you think the founding fathers didn't know about separation of church and state? They wanted to make sure that the state didn't establish a religion. Teaching the Bible is not the state establishing a religion. They wanted the founding fathers, they wanted the Bible taught in school. They wanted kids to learn the Bible. These guys all grew up learning the Bible. And some have said, well, you know, I'm against this. I saw one guy, he masquerades as a pastor. He says, I'm a Christian pastor in Texas, and I'm against this. And I thought to myself, you're against anything that is righteous. And you call yourself a Christian pastor. You know, I take serious, I can't see your heart, but I have not seen any evidence, as Jesus said, you shall know them by their fruits. I haven't seen any evidence that you're a Christian. And I can know on any given subject, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's gender mutilation, whether it's abortion, whatever, I can tell what position you're going to have. It's always going to be the position of the radical left, always. And you call yourself a Christian? Well, he's against that because he said, you know, this is terrible. And, you know, what would we think if they started teaching the Quran in public schools? Well, the founding fathers wouldn't have stood for that. The Quran is antithetical to the Constitution of the United States of America. The Quran wants to establish Sharia law. Sharia law is not compatible with the United States Constitution. That's why, for those of us who are awake and know what's going on, and like the sons of Issachar, understanding the times and what Israel should do, we recognize, hey, that's a threat. We see what it's doing, what Islam is doing to Europe, and we know that's coming here. And I keep referring back to the program I did with Daryl Harrison just a few weeks ago, the political Islam that comes in. I think it was Switzerland or one of those countries that said, hey, we no longer recognize Islam as a religion. Islam is a political ideology, and it's coming to take over, and it's coming to establish Sharia law. And if we don't care about our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, then we just do nothing. All that's required for evil to triumph is for good people to do nothing. But if we do care, we're going to do, as Todd Starnes said yesterday, we're going to get into the arena. We're going to stand up and speak up for the truth. And as Seth Gruber said when I had him on the program just a week or two ago, he said, you know, when people ask, well, what do I do? What can little old me do? Well, little old you, little old me, we can get involved locally. That's where we start, locally. We find out who is going on the school board. What does that person stand for? What are they going to vote for? And what are they going to champion? Do they have a worldview that's compatible with the Bible, or is it at odds with the Bible? You know, these people that are electing Islamists to these positions, well, that's what you're going to get. And nobody's immune. Everybody looks at the world through a particular lens. We want to get people that look at the world through a biblical lens. Now, you can have people, as Todd and I discussed this with Donald Trump, you can have people that, like Donald Trump, that have a rudimentary understanding of good and evil. And he sees, as President Reagan saw, he sees that when evil is coming, he saw the Russians as wanting to hurt us, and he saw that them as a great evil. We need to stand up and fight against that. Oh, Donald Trump sees all the liberal ideologies that are coming upon us, especially as it relates to biological men playing in female sports and ruining female sports and gender mutilation surgery and the things that he jumped on from day one of his presidency. He sees those things and he wants to return America to its moral foundations. You say, well, he's not the poster child for morality. Well, he may not be, but he sees what is right and what is wrong. We live in a world today where people don't see that. We live in an Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 world. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute light for darkness and darkness for light, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe. It's a terrible thing, and we have people today, they can't see the forest for the trees. They're so deceived by the devil, and they fight and fight and fight for something that is so ridiculous. You're fighting for, as an example, a biological male to play in female sports. It is crazy, and it doesn't need to happen. We need to stand up and fight those kinds of things. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. I wanted to remind you that I'm going to be leading a trip to Israel April 2nd through the 11th in 2027. We would love for you to join us as we walk where Jesus walked. You know, going to Israel is truly the trip of a lifetime. You go to these places and all of a sudden what you've been reading about comes into living color, and you see these wonderful places, and you have an experience with the Lord that is truly life-changing. And so I would love for you to consider that. You can find out all the information. Just go to fromhisheart.org, fromhisheart.org, and click on the link that says Holy Land 2027. So we'll leave from Dallas April 2nd through the 11th. And if you're coming from a different part of the country, you can work out your own travel arrangements if you'd prefer to do that and take that off the trip. So all that information is there for you. We're using my friend Gary Frazier and Discovery Missions as our travel agent for Holy Land 2027, April 2nd through the 11th. So check it out. Well, we're going to the phone lines. We've been talking about in this last segment, hooray for Texas, as they made the decision in 2025 to display the Ten Commandments in public schools, and kids need to know about the Ten Commandments, and they need to see those on a daily basis, and hopefully to learn those, as we mentioned, the Ten Commandments Project with Joseph Parker, teaching your students, your children, about the Ten Commandments and how to memorize the Ten Commandments, so important. And then how they just decided in June of 2026, just in the last week, to require Bible teaching in the public schools. I think that is great. And so we say hooray to Texas. You know, the history of the Bible in America, in the colonial times, the 1600s, Bible-centered education began with Puritan colonies. The 1647 Massachusetts Old Deluder Satan Law required towns to establish schools so children could read the Bible. They saw how important it was in the 1600s. All the founding fathers were very steeped in the scripture. That is the beauty of the United States Constitution. It was founded on biblical principles, on Christian principles and Christian morality. We read those quotes from the founding fathers, how critical that was. And that's why God has blessed America for all these years. But you get away from the foundations, and you follow in the footsteps of those in Romans 1 who say, "Fui on God, I'm going to depart from His will, His ways, His word. I'm going to do my own thing." And God says, "All right, you can do that if you want, but hey, you're not going to like the fruit that comes from that. And you sow your wild oats, and that's the crop that you have. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked." Galatians 6 says, "For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Glenn on the line from Michigan. Glenn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, shalom there, Jeff. Yeah, that's great about Texas, because you were mentioning about the colonialism and the teaching aspects, and 80% of the curriculum in that day was straight out of the textbook of the Bible.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of that. You know, as we approach Independence Day, as we call it, for the past several years, Pastor, my heart has grieved when I watch those fireworks, because the Lord put upon my heart we should be celebrating a Dependence Day, a dependence on Him, mm-hmm. a dependence on Him. And, you know, you made a quote from John Adams. I like that quote. That's been secured in my heart, that we are a moral and religious government. But he also made another quote, and I got this out of, I would encourage you to explore some of Zola Levitt's teaching. He has a Levitt letter out there. It's from a Hebrew perspective. John Adams also said, this is a quote now I'm reading, mm-hmm. "I will insist that the Hebrews have done more to civilize men than any other nation. If I were an atheist and believed in blind eternal fate, I should still believe that fate had been ordained the Jews to be the most essential instrument for civilizing the nations." John Adams said that. Isn't that awesome?
That's a great quote. Yeah, well, you know, the Lord chose the Abraham and his descendants. "I'm going to make of you a great nation." And their being chosen was, you're going to be the people to present God to the nations. And they didn't do a very good job with that, but it was God's divine choice, and that was the purpose. It wasn't that you're more special than anybody else. It's like, I've chosen you, just like he chose us as believers, and what are we supposed to do? You're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world, so shine and share and let people know what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And through the way you live, through what comes out of your mouth, let the sweet aroma of the knowledge of Jesus go forth in every place you go. So that's the challenge for the people of God. Old Testament, New Testament, we are to share with the world what it means. What does God look like? Hey, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And so let's be the sweet aroma that the Lord wants us to be. God bless you, Glenn. I appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you sharing that. We have Linda on the line from Texas. Linda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you. I love listening to your program and the other people's comments, but mine is, I have a 21-year-old granddaughter named Katie Grace. It's a picture of courage, and I have this scripture, Psalm 27:14, wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart be courageous. Wait for the Lord. It's her heart. I mean, and I'll give a quick example. She loves horses, and she grooms horses and everything. She got stomped on by a horse last week, okay? And you can imagine pain and everything. Took x-rays. That same day, sir, she works, and she went to work and worked that day. You talk about, wow. I mean, it wasn't, oh, no, what happened to me? And so I just wanted to give a shout-out to young people because, you know, that's, the courage has to come in the heart. And because her heart loves Jesus, and she's raised a tremendous mom and dad, just raised her in the ways of the Lord. So I just wanted to give a shout-out to that word, yeah, courage, and young people.
Amen to that, Linda. Thank you for doing that. God bless you. I appreciate you so much. Thanks for being such a faithful listener and such a wonderful encouragement to me. Well, we have Wayne on the line from Kansas. Wayne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you for taking my telephone call. Sure. My question for you is about what Jesus meant by telling the Pharisees, if you were children of Abraham, you would do what Abraham did. Mm-hmm. Now, my thought process is just telling me he lived before there was a Bible. He didn't practice water baptism. He didn't have a Sabbath. He just heard the voice of God and followed it. And that is Jesus saying that the Pharisees were not doing that?
Well, he was saying, you know, you want to kill me. You know, and they said, this Abraham did not do. You're in John 8. So I know that you, he says, I know that you are Abraham's descendants, yet you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak the things which I have seen with my father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you are seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You are doing the deeds of your father. They said to him, we were not born of fornication. That's a dig on Jesus, because they did the math and they knew that Mary and Joseph, Jesus, the math didn't work for the wedding day and the birth. We're not born of fornication. We have one father, God. He said, if God were your father, you would love me. He said, for I have not come on my own initiative, but he sent me. So he's saying to them, you know, you hide in the fact that you're the sons of Abraham. You're the offspring of Abraham. You are his descendants. But you're not following in his footsteps. Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. They weren't believing God. Here was their long-awaited Messiah right in front of their face. And what do they say about him? He's Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons. He's a Samaritan. He's demon-possessed. They couldn't be more wrong about Jesus. And he's saying, Abraham didn't do that. Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Then he goes on to say, he said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And they said to him, you're not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am. And they picked up stones to throw at him for blasphemy. How dare you say I am, while Jesus is claiming his deity there. So that's how I understand that, Wayne. Abraham didn't have the law that came with Moses, but Abraham is an example to all who believe, because Abraham got the word of God, go to a land where I will show you, and Abraham went, not knowing where he was going. He believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Well, that's a good question. God bless you, brother. We have David on the line from Florida. David, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. Mine's more trying to make an awareness to people listening. It's about, there was an article that came out this weekend. It was called Venezuela, How a Prosperous Nation Collapsed. Mm-hmm. And it gets a play-by-play from 1992 to 2026, what happened through socialism to Venezuela. And I think it would be a good read for people to be informed of the dangers of it. That's what I just want to share with you, because you started out the show about that, and I wanted mm-hmm. to share that with you.
Yeah, that's good. I appreciate that, David. God bless you, brother. We have Dixon on the line from Texas. Dixon, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you. Good talking to you.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the... I get my news from this station and another radio station, uh-huh. and I have it on CBS TV also. And I've been noticing a lot of things I hear on the news. They don't mention it, any of it. You know, how... Nothing about the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm-hmm. Nothing about the bio labs that came out. Oh, the mm-hmm. taxpayers are paying for. When right. do you think a news service would like to let their listeners know where their tax money is going? And nothing about Act Blue. You know, when she's questioned under Congress and pled the fifth to every single question.
Yeah.
And nothing about how the COVID cover up is finally yeah. coming out. And nothing about the pro-life and the Christians that were persecuted by the Biden regime. Not right. a word about that on CBS.
No. They're not going to cover it. And if it doesn't fit their narrative, they're not going to cover it. Because, I mean, a news organization is supposed to just give you the news. They're not supposed to spin the news. They just give you the news. Now, Todd Starnes said this, you know, he gives news from a Christian worldview. So he's telling you up front, I'm a Christian. I look at things from a biblical lens. And so I'm going to give you the information that way. And, you know, that's what we endeavor to do at American Family Radio. That's what I do. I look at the world through the lens of Scripture, and God forbid that a Christian should look at the Scripture through the lens of culture. We don't do that. But as far as just recording what happens, you know, these people that have come over to the United States for the World Cup, they said, hey, if you want to hate America, just listen to the media. That's all they report on, is things negative, 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 negative. But he said, you know, there so many of them have posted on TikTok and other Instagram and things. America is such a wonderful place. I never would have known this had I not come here. And they're just giddy. They're just, you know, having the time of their lives. And as the one guy just said at Texas Roadhouse, he was talking about, I played the clip last week, just how wonderful it is. He said, you Americans ought to be happy all the time. You have Texas Roadhouse where you get peanuts and this wonderful bread and this wonderful food. And they're just amazed at how great it is in America. We're getting ready to throw all that away. We're getting ready to vote all that away because we are so ignorant, as Matt Walsh said, so ignorant of what socialism does, what Islam does. And we think, oh, well, it's just, let's just try this out for a while. Elections, to quote Barack Obama, have consequences. And as one person said, you know, you can vote your way into socialism, but you're going to have to shoot your way out. And so that is good for us to remember. Well, Daryl, I'm sorry we didn't get to you or Chris, but thanks for calling. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Remember, you can always reach me, Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. That's Pastor Jeff at fromhisheart.org. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. Be the person, the man, the woman in the arena. Speak the truth in love, and let God use your life for His glory. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.